Sentinel Online. Now loading all things Transformers.
Welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into the Transformers fandom is TFG1 Mike.
Man, we really should have come up with something for this, other than the fact that this is the 449th episode, because this should have really been the 450th. Oh, wait, that's right. We are doing something for the 450th. No, we're doing something for the 500th. That's what the plan was, to get to the 500th. But
the road to 500.
Yeah. But when I looked at the script, I was like, 450, 449. Oh, shnikes, yikes. But yeah. Oh, boy. 17 years.
That's crazy. That's my longest running podcast.
Yep. We old.
It old.
Yeah, it old. It old.
I've killed it twice, too, or three times.
Three times. Yeah, you've tried.
Mm-mm. And then it goes away for like a technical, like short stint.
Yeah. Just because a podcast goes away doesn't mean it's truly dead. The only way it's truly dead is if you never upload ever again and you specifically say, hey, look, this show is ending. But if you just say, hey, yeah, we got blah, 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 and then it goes away and then it comes back like the indestructible spark of Starscream, then, you know. I mean, you are Megatron. The podcast is Starscream. It's like a redheaded stepchild.
Yes, it does keep returning.
Yes, of course.
And it's funny.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
But, yeah, it's been quite amazing, honestly.
Yep.
I mean, 17 years, who would have thought?
Exactly. Who would have thought? Because, wow. Okay, so I think what's more interesting isn't the fact that you've had the show go on for 17 years. The fact that you're almost at 500 episodes in 17 years.
Like, yeah, I really wasn't trying to push the envelope too much on that. Like,
that's my fault.
Well,
I'm a machine.
The episode count thing never mattered to me. It was always quality over quantity. And I was watching all these other Transformers podcasts pumping out episode week after week after week, sometimes twice a week. And I was like, is it really necessary? Is there really enough to discuss every week? Like, yes, I mean, if you're doing like a deep dive on something or like a commentary or doing, you know, speculative content or interviews, yes. If you're covering news, not so much, because there's a lot of rumors and a lot of just nonsense that doesn't need to be reported on until there's like cold hard facts. Yeah. So I mean, I've always kind of pushed more on the side of I would rather just put out good content covering Transformers rather than just content.
Yeah, so. and you say that, and I'm gonna preface this to everyone who heard you just say that by saying that we know that not every single Transformers podcast, past and present, puts out content just to put it out there, because I've listened to several most current podcasts for Transformers, and there are some out there that do things in a way where it's like, oh, they put this in this bucket or that in that bucket or whatever, and it's still good content. They still have multiple episodes. I would most compare us today to the Transmissions podcast. Transmissions with Big C Charles, with Daryl the Cybertronian Beast, Jeremy aka Yakko, Dr. Pants, and a bunch of other people that do stuff over there. They have their traditional regular Transmissions episodes that are on a certain, you want to talk about numbers and confusion? They have their regular transmissions numbered episodes that are on a certain number, and then they have their alt mode episode numbers that are on a separate number trajectory. That's confusing as hell sometimes. I'm okay with it because I understand it, but their alt mode episodes are like their comic reviews, and in their comic review episodes they'll do like, here's the comic news, here's the comic review, and then after the comic review they'll do here's the media news. So they'll kind of separate it out, where like if you go to tfw2005.com and you look at that news section at the top where it's like their menu bar under news says generations, RID, movies, comics, etc., where you can separate it out. That's kind of what Transmissions does with their episodes, kind of thing. And sometimes they'll do special things and whatever. So I understand something like that, but the general statement that you said about just to do it, absolutely no. Like, there's a difference in us doing a news episode and having, let's say, 8 stories. 4 and 4, whatever. Like, if you pick 4 and I pick 4, that's fine. That would be a normal All Things Transformers episode. We sometimes may have a topic. We sometimes may not have a topic. It just might be the news. And here's the news. Here you go. This is what we're interested in. This is what we wanted to talk about. Bob's your uncle, or Optimus is your uncle, or whoever, whatever. And there you go. Or we might have a topic in whatever episode it is, and we might cut down on the news. Instead of having 8 stories, we might have 6, or we might have 4. So we cut back on the news side of it, and we add more time to the actual topic of it. Or, you know, the something I want to do this year going into, I mean, we're already at friggin' August 8th, 2025, 17 years. Current August of 2025. I feel like July was 7 years and 7 months, not 7 months in 1 year. July was long as hell for me in real life, but that's a whole other kettle of bots and cons and whatever. But we're at 17 years for this podcast, and we are just over halfway through 2025. At some point, I don't know, you and I have to talk about this, and we have to figure it out, and we have to obviously promote and whatever. I want to bring back ATTF Origins at some point, and it would most likely be like a monthly special, like a once a month episode thing, where I would get somebody who's a Transformers fan and they would answer the 30 questions about their Transformers fandom. So that's a spotlight episode thing that would only happen once a month, and you'd have 12 episodes a month if we did it monthly every year, kind of thing. Podcasts can do all kinds of crazy stuff. And I said to you the other day when we finished doing the Altered Geek episode thing, and I'm not going to bring too much up about this on air, but I had said to you about certain ideas and certain whatever, you're like, yeah, but every time I feel like I mention them on air, it's like we never do them. I'm like, probably. That's why you got to remember to mention them to me off air, to whomever, to whatever, or to, like, we got to remember to, I know we old, but we got to work on the memory thing. it's just one of those things. And yeah, you're right. Like, your goal was, and I know you've never been, I'm more the numbers guy when it comes to, and it was never about getting to a certain number. It never really is. It's just, when you have so many ideas and so many things that you feel like you want to do, or you feel like you want to get out in one, like when I was doing TFG1 podcast, I knew once I laid that out, I knew it was only going to be 24 episodes because the way I laid it out and the fact that the cartoon only has 98 episodes, like you can only do so much, which is why that podcast has like 6 or 7 or however many supplemental episodes, which I knew by like season 3, I'm like, okay, I'm going to feel trapped in this. So we got to figure something else out, which obviously then led you and I on the track of creating the whole over 4,000 audio episodes that we have here at the Geekcast Radio Network, 17 years later. Okay, I'll shut up now. What do you want to talk about?
Well, it's just, it's kind of funny that, you know, it's been this whole ride. And
of course,
it was funny because I was editing the doc and I was like, 447. I'm like, didn't we just do that? And I looked at RSS and I was like, oh, we're doing 449 tonight. Yep. And
I forgot to change that.
But it's kind of cool because this also is going to coincide with my book release.
Yep, absolutely.
So
why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, so on obviously August 8th, my book Altered Audio, Podcasting Demystified, comes out, and it's basically a journey on podcasting and kind of shows some of my information as well as the information of the book itself and kind of a rundown of different platforms, different options, different things, you know, that I've had people ask me over the years, and some of it is just kind of culminated into this one book as kind of a DIY guide, making it easy, kind of putting everything out there in this pretty simple to use book. And it's not like 400 pages thick like a for dummies book. it's only 140 pages, and it's one of those 6x9 books. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of your standard, very thin, easy enough to read. My oldest is actually reading it.
Cool.
More or less, he took my Amazon copy, my preview copy, proof. And he's like, he commandeered it. Uh-huh. I still have my Barnes and Noble version, but yeah. I may buy another one that's just for reading, and then I keep one that's like first edition enclosed, you know, and they're all technically first edition, but when, as I gather new information and more stuff to add to it or change, I may come out with a second edition next year, you know, just because I'm sure things will change between now and then, and I'll have more information to put in there. And I'm stockpiling data.
Yes,
absolutely. For it.
He is the Bob Ross / Bob Vila of podcasters when it comes to books right now, folks. You're going to want to get Altered Audio, folks.
So it'll be on Amazon. It'll be digital. It'll be on print, paperback. There'll be one on BarnesandNoble.com. You may notice that there's two versions of the print of the book. Mm-hmm. In order to get wider distribution, I went with also Ingram Spark, apparently bookstores, libraries, and things like that will not deal with Amazon.
They
have this hardcore thing because of however Amazon handles like publishers and books and things like that. Right. It's very much a print on demand thing.
Yeah. They want a specific, legitimate, regular publisher, not just Amazon. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I have it through Barnes and Noble as well through the self-publishing. However, Ingram Spark is the one. It's a distributor that does self-publishing, and so therefore, they're more likely to purchase from that over buying it from the other two. However, in doing so, also duplicated so that there are two versions of the same book on Amazon and on Barnes & Noble. So one is $15.99 and one is $17.99. In the $15.99, I will let you know, I get more of a cut.
Okay.
Buy the $17.99 version is the exact same book.
Yep.
But I see a lot less of the commission or my kickback for the book.
We will put however, a link in the...
Go ahead. Yeah. So all of the books, like easy access, like it's in my my link tree in my mm-hmm. Twitter profile.
Yep.
There's a spot that it says, you know, my book or whatever, and it scours and sources the book to the various locations and automatically pulls up, you know, the different options in it. And the Ingram Spark version comes up under mass published.
Yep.
Whereas the other will come up under Amazon and will come up, you know, with the Kindle version and the print version. And then the Barnes & Noble has its own. So that is how you can differentiate them.
That seems so
It's confusing. It really is. But the thing is if I just done it on Ingram Spark, it publishes everywhere anyway.
Yeah.
But there's not a learning curve.
Yeah,
it's a learning curve. I didn't know that, and at first I planned to do Barnes and Noble and Audible, or not Audible, Amazon.
Yeah,
and then I was like, oh well, if I did it this way, then I get the option of bookstores and of libraries and things like that. So, learning curve, something I know for the next time. But so. We're here to talk about Transformers.
Are we really? I couldn't tell.
Yeah. No. We're fresh off SDCC. We covered a tiny portion of this over on Altered Geek.
For its 12th or 13th anniversary.
Yes. Yep. Right around the same time.
Yep.
So, without further ado, let's get into some Transformers news.
Absolutely. You got the first story, Mr. Beast Wars.
YOLO Park. So they have, for YOLO Park, they have the original Transformers 2007 film characters, Ironhide, Blackout, and Optimus Prime in their robot modes. They have the prototypes on there. They also have Dark of the Moon Megatron and Revenge of the Fallen Megatron. They have Bumblebee movie Optimus Prime and Cybertronian Bumblebee. They also have The Last Night Drift. They have IDW Optimus Prime. They have the Mini
Really quick, just to clarify, folks, all of the ones he just mentioned before the Mini Wave is the under the AMK Pro series, which is the more expensive versions of the YOLO Park figures. Because I find it absolutely hilarious that they actually distinction the two series, because when you get down to your favorites, they specifically say the more affordable line.
Go ahead. That is true. They have those, and then they get into the AMK Mini Wave 2 and 3 and 4. Which has Grimlock, Optimus Primal, IDW, Nickel, and Bumblebee and Concept Megatron. I find it funny that they have Optimus Primal in the Mini Wave.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
So I didn't realize he was in here twice, but it's kind of funny regardless. And then of course we get the AMK Pro Rise of the Beasts RC, and then AMK Pro G1 Mega or Bumblebee. And then we get to the, you know, then they have the AMK Pro Transformers 1 Optimus Prime and Megatron Final Forms, and then we get the AMK Beast Wars Optimus Primal, Dinobot, Black Arachnia, and Megatron.
Yeah,
which is the ones I care about, obviously. I think they look really good. What's funny is they're basically the masterpiece.
Yeah.
Without, like, they don't have the poseable, you know, thumbs and all of that stuff. Correct me if I'm wrong. They don't move, do they? Or they have limited articulation.
I would have to look up a YouTube video for these. I don't remember what AMK Pro does.
So Optimus Primal, it looks like his head moves. It looks like his arms, like his elbows, his shoulders.
Yep.
And then they've got a wrist mount that twists, and then you get, you know, some of the leg and knee.
Yeah. So they're essentially, they have poseability. They're basically, they move, but they don't like, they're not
they're more
like
of an action pose.
Yeah, it's action pose. It's not like what I'll talk about later with the MDLX Rodimus, where that thing is, I mean, he's got more stuff in his joints than God knows what. But yeah, so it's more of a, it's not a completely static, like Dinobot isn't just standing there holding his hand up. I'm sure his fingers probably move, maybe. Same thing with like you said, with Optimus, I'm sure his arms, you know, move. It's just that they don't transform. They're basically model figure type things. I just wish we were at the stage at SDCC that Yolo Park was at the stage of painting for this, because this is San Diego Comic-Con. I get it. These are great prototypes. I want to see these in color because they're going to look so much.
100%.
I get it. I understand. This is the stage that they're at of working on these, and they want something to show off, to show, to get us excited. And I'm excited for them, but I don't know. I think we could see more with the color than just the gray prototype.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited either way, because even though that I am highly unlikely of getting these, because I mean, I have a Masterpiece Optimus Primal, I have a Masterpiece Megatron, I have the War for Cybertron Dinobot, I don't have Black Arachne anymore.
All of those transform, and you have to transform them back and forth, and I get that's the whole point of Transformers, folks. I understand that. But sometimes you just want the character, and you just want the character to stand there.
Like, yeah. So, I mean, the only incentive I would have for, like, Optimus Primal, for instance, or Megatron, would be turning their Masterpiece into beast form.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then having these next to them.
Yeah.
Or, like, having them on my desk at work, or, you know.
Something, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
So, those are definitely the highlight for me there.
Yep. And then we have the brand panel recap from San Diego Comic-Con. We had the fan 2026 Activate Your Alt Mode fan vote. Apparently on August 12th is when this is happening. Round one will be character. Round two will be alt mode category. Round three will be alt mode type. So there's that. We are getting a Void Rivals, Jetfire, and Derek along with Salila. So I've mentioned this to you before, and this will come up later when I talk about the comics news from San Diego Comic-Con. Void Rivals is 1/3 of the Energon Universe comic series out there. It personally, for me, it is the best new space series, original space series in comics, at least from the stuff that I read, which I don't read a lot, but, you know, it's like, whatever. When Jesse and I started reading the Energon Universe, we were like, oh, Transformers, and oh, Void Rivals, and oh, G.I. Joe, okay, cool. We were mainly there for Transformers, because, hello, Matrix Prime, TF2 and Mike were Transformers people, and Jesse's podcast, Another Comic Review, is where I've been doing that. We've been doing that show for 2 years. The Energon Universe has been around at Skybound under Image Comics for 2 years now. So Void Rivals, Jetfire, along with Derek and Salila, they showed that off. They've got that going. That thing's $115. Woo, a lot of money. Hearts of Steel 2-pack. This is Optimus and Starscream and a bunch of others, I think. The Armada, Nemesis Prime, and Air Defense Minicons. The Hot Wheels Twin Mill and Bone Shaker. Okay. This is the Transformers Age of the Primes Deluxe Scale. We have Sure Shot. Hey, I remember. Sure. Isn't he from Armada? An old Sure Shot. Or maybe he's not.
No, that's Hot Shot.
No, Sure Shot.
No.
Hot Shot's from Armada. Sure Shot's from G1. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Blastoff looks great. Junkion Jalopy. I liked it, and I think other people have said this recently. I liked that they're actually giving the Junkion figures personalities. I don't mind that at all. I think that's cool more than just saying, here, you're junkie on number three, or you're junkie on number 7,345 that nothing really matters about you. So I think that's cool. Well, I just thought I'd give her a look, boss bot. Oh boy, deluxe quick strike. He just, every time I see him, I was like, I can hear, Colin Murdoch, I believe, is the voice actor that did his voice. I just hear that country voice. Deluxe Quintus Prime. This, what the hell? Kind of.
I don't know. I like the quick strike because he's actually
accurate to
the show. And what's funny is TransArt Toys came out with one. And he's shiny and he's cool looking and everything. I mean, there's not much you can do to one up it. I mean, the legs are articulated and stuff.
Yeah.
This takes the original Quick Strike toy and one ups it, obviously, because they make him a deluxe instead of a basic.
Right.
And then they got rid of the translucent and then made him, you know, fully detailed, which I'm surprised that the paint decor on him looks really good.
Yeah.
And then they've got the pegs on like his claws and on his underside of his legs.
Yep.
That allow him to hold on to, you know, something, a weapon, whatever. And, I would be tempted for this one. Cause I get rid of Scorponok. Cause I was like, I hate that guy. I like Quick Strike.
Yeah.
One, he'll be cheaper than the TransArt Toys one. And I've heard there were quality control issues with the TransArt Toys one. And this one, honestly, like for my needs, he's perfectly fine.
Yeah, he's perfectly fine.
I would love to see some Transmetals, though, like Transmetal Tarantulas and Transmetal Megatron and Depth Charge and, you know, things like that. But time will tell.
Time will tell. Plus, again, we're over the halfway point of 2025. We're heading into 2026, as you know, and as the audience knows, obviously. 30th anniversary or 40th. No, 30th and 40th. Jesus, Mike, you're aging yourself up there. 30th anniversary of Beast Wars. I highly doubt the company is going to ignore the 30th anniversary of Beast Wars, the cartoon, the toy line that basically saved the brand 30 years ago. So I'm sure they're going to do something. I don't know what, because hello, I don't work for them, but yeah. All right. The Voyagers for 2026, we have Brawl. It's good for the Combaticon character. We have Rekgar. Gar is a Voyager. I hear a combination of Eric Idle and Will Weird Al coming out of his face, but more Eric Idle since it's Generation 1. Amalgamous Prime. For half a second, I thought that was going to be the Sharktacon, but that's not. The hell? Oh, I see what they did there. And then we get into the leader scale. Razorclaw. Really? Razorclaw as the lead? Oh, because of what's the stupid, what's the name, the Predaking, what's the name of the damn, oh god, this is what I'm thinking it is, right? It's Razorclaw from Predaking, right? Or is this a different
Razor? This is a different Razor Claw.
Okay.
This is the Unicron infused one from the Transformers Unlimited comic line.
Oh, okay. And then Leader Big Convoy. That's a big elephant.
Heck yeah, it is. Cool.
The big woolly mammoth right there.
That's Ultra Magnus in beast form. No. I mean, it basically is.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's great. And then we get the 2026 Commander scale. Oh my god. Onslaught? as a commander? Render only, subject to change. Wait, okay. Oh, this is, I'm like, deluxe scale. We just did this studio series. So we get into studio series, deluxe scale. TF1 Arachnid. I forgot she was in TF1, but she is. Barricade from the last night. Really? I guess we already had him from the original 2007. All as I can think of is that original 2007 debut that he had. 86 Wind Charger. Very cool. He looks good.
He does.
For what he is. Yeah, absolutely.
He almost looks like the Inspector Gadget car if you repainted him. Silver. Go Gadget Charger.
Uh-huh. Go, Gadget, go. All right, Studio Series Voyager scale. TF1 Alpha Trion. Yeah, okay. It looks all right. I don't know about these TF. Like, we talked about the movie. We did a whole episode about the movie. I forget off the top of my head which episode number of this podcast that episode is, but I don't know about some of these. In the movie, the designs looked great. In the movie, but as toys, I don't know. Anyone listening, is anyone collecting the TF1 stuff? Because I don't know if I even would. I know you're not, obviously, but because it's not your thing. No. But like, there we go. There he is. Good old 86 Voyager Thundercracker. Here we go. This should be the ultimate final form for Thundercracker, at least until we get to the 50th anniversary of this movie. But Transformers the Movie Thundercracker. Man, he looks great.
I mean, there's not much to improve there.
No, but I mean,
it's still a Starscream.
It's still a
repainted.
Starscream. Yeah, yeah.
He's Scourge.
Yeah. He's Scourge. Okay, so this is the last night. This is Leader Class 2026 for Studio Series. It is Leader Nemesis Prime. Honestly, it's probably the best looking truck mode. One of the best looking truck modes. And if I
from that movie line.
Yeah, and if I did ever purchase one of these things, I would probably only keep him in truck mode. Of course, in my case, probably Hasbro would be like, truck mode, you're going to have to work for that because we're going to package him in robot mode, you jerk. All right.
More than likely.
Yeah, Studio Series Titans. Okay, can we talk about this? We got it. Leader class, commander class, titan class. Like, how large are we going to end up going with this? Like, oh, God.
Size of the arc.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And then so Prime can ride on him.
I know. That one. Hey, yeah, because last night. Oh, no. Wait, where? Oh, okay. So, yeah, the Titan class, 2026 Titan class, TF4 Grimlock. The dinosaur mode is... That's so sad. Okay, like, I know that if you look at Generation 1 Grimlock, his robot mode, okay, it's okay, but really what we're there for is the dinosaur mode. Like, the robot modes aren't really anything to write home about. What we're there for is the dinosaurs. That's the whole point. But you want your robots to have cool looking robot modes. And I look at this and I'm like, giant robot, tiny head, big staff with a mace. Look over to the right. Holy crap, look at his teeth. That's a giant T-Rex. I'm running for my life. Probably couldn't outrun that thing, but yeah. So that's that was the Transformers brand panel recap at San Diego Comic-Con. Any final thoughts on that? Anything I know you talked about the Quick Strike, but anything else you like from that stuff that we just saw there?
I mean, I think it's neat about Jetfire. I think it's cool that Hot Wheels and Transformers are doing a lot of collaboration.
Yep.
My kids actually found me a Optimus Prime Hot Wheel.
Nice. Very cool.
I've never seen one. I've been looking for months. And I refuse to spend $15 on eBay. So
yeah.
They found me one for like $2 at a store. And I mean, I'm still looking for another one so I can open one, but this one's in the box. I like Sure Shot. He's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I obviously am very intrigued with Quick Strike.
Yep.
I like the Combaticons for what they are.
Yeah. That Blastoff looks great.
I also like Brawl.
Yep.
Razor Claw is cool, but I mean, I would just get Tiger Hawk if I'm going to go that route.
Yeah.
And Big Convoy is cool, but I never really got into Beast Wars Neo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as far as the others, and then Wind Charger is pretty neat because all I can see is Inspector Gadget Car.
Yeah.
That's literally all I could see. And then I'm like, oh, so if you paint the body silver. And then you paint the front grill black. And then you paint, like, you know, the robot mode more of the either the red or the or grays or black, you know, and then have the body of him silver. And, you know, there's a lot you could do with it. But I'm like, I just see Inspector Gadget Car.
Yeah.
And then Thundercracker's cool. But
yeah, I was hoping we would see Skywarp, too.
I really
wanted to see, like, Starscream's not my favorite. He never has been. He never will be. Thundercracker's okay. I like Thundercracker. I like John Stevenson's voice for Thundercracker. I forget who voices Skywarp off the top of my head, but I like Skywarp's voice in the Generation 1 cartoon. And Black and Purple is just my thing. It always has been. It always will be. So I really wanted to see a TFTM Studio Series SS86 Skywarp as well, but it is what it is. All right, getting into the comic stuff, we got a couple of things here. So we got the November solicitations for Transformers 26 and Void Rivals 25. So we got Kirkman, who is joined by new series artist Andre Bresson and Patrico Del Pesce to kick off the brand new Energon universe epic like nothing you've ever experienced. And the Sacred Ring will never be the same. So basically, this is continuing the road or the current... In issue 25, they're going to start the Quintesson War. So this actually kicks it off. Issue 25 kicks it off. But issue 26... What the hell? You're in sleep mode. And nobody say, hey, G. What the hell phone? So it's funny that they actually show you in the images on TFW 2005, they show you the cover for 25 first, which is the Quintesson cover there with Derek and Salila and the Quintesson head and with the tentacles. And then they show you the Optimus cover next, which is the 26 cover, and then the Shredhead cover, Alita 1 or RC, I don't know. I think that's RC, actually. And then the Devastator with Megatron. There's an Optimus thing, and yeah, it's just, it's going to be getting so good. The end run for Daniel Warren Johnson's arc is rapidly closing up. We just reviewed issue 21 or issue 22, I think. I forget which one off the top of my head. So he's got two more issues to close out his run. And then we do get the announcement for for Skybound's All Out War in the Energon universe. This is the character designs and cover artwork. Robert Kirkman and artist Dan Mora will take over on Transformers with issue 25. Yada, yada, yada. Now, I will say, even though we're not going to talk too much about the two videos that are linked here, but Daniel Warren Johnson's video is basically him reflecting on his time on writing and drawing Transformers. And then Robert Kirkman, this is the first video I'd seen or tracked down or actually sought out to actually hear Robert Kirkman talking about working on specifically Void Rivals, because that's where he's currently working, and getting to in the future with issue 25 work on the Transformers. I really liked the video. I really liked hearing what the guy had to say and what they've got coming up, and I'm very excited for it, because Daniel Warren Johnson has a certain style. And it's not a bad style. Everybody has a certain style, but he has certain things that he likes and certain things that, like, he did that comic book series called Do a Power Bomb, and it's about wrestling. It's a wrestling thing. And if you're not into wrestling, you're not going to like that. But because that's part of his background, he tried to incorporate that a few times in the Transformers book. So he would have some of the Transformers do wrestling moves to each other. It was kind of funny, but it was just like, okay, dude, we get it. But anyway, if you're on this article with me here, let's look at these designs, these upcoming designs. So we got RC here, and she looks pretty good. We got Optimus and Megatron. I love it. They look very classic.
Well, and then they give them a slightly different look, and
well, yeah, I mean, they're going
to... I mean, yeah, I'm not expecting, you know, exact. It kind of reminds me of Josh's artwork,
mm-hmm.
in Josh. A sense.
Bertram or Perez?
Bertram.
Okay, yeah.
So like the coloring and, you know, the rough lines and stuff like that. But I find it interesting that both Prime and Megatron get their arms back.
Well, they kind of, okay, so you're not currently reading it.
Yet.
Okay.
You can spoil it. I don't care.
I just want to make sure, because I don't want to, eventually we're going to read it and trade on this podcast. So Prime got his arm shot off. Something happened. I forget off the top of my head, but he got his right arm shot off. He uses Megatron's arm as his fusion cannon arm, whatever. Anyway, so he has Megatron's arm, but here's the thing. Megatron's arm is infecting him, and Prime has the Matrix. Megatron's arm is infecting the Matrix. Hmm. Which basically means, unless they remove it, Matrix no worky, Matrix dead, kind of thing. And the crazy thing is, and I only found this out because apparently I missed it completely. I was listening, and I'm not trying to promote for them, but it's because I listened to like six of their episodes in the last week. I was trying to play catch up on listening to the Transmissions podcast. I think it was either Daryl or Charles that pointed out, you know, when they try to remove Megatron's arm from Prime, they shoot Optimus Prime everywhere except Megatron's arm. Like, they basically destroy Optimus, and the only thing that's not destroyed is the actual thing that they're trying to remove from his body. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. They both get their arms back, because, you know, you got to return to status quo. We get Jazz. We get Soundwave. Soundwave looks cool. Soundwave looks more, he's in the current storyline, kind of, sort of, but this design, at least the robot design, he looks, I don't want to say thinner, but that's the only word I can think. He just doesn't look as big as he usually does. We get Thundercracker, Wheeljack, and then these are some of the covers for coming up. Very, very cool. Oh man, look at that wraparound. That wraparound's amazing.
Ah. Well, they did the Transformers the movie thing with him.
Yep. Oh yeah. Yep. That Void Rivals wraparound is so cool too. But yeah, so very, very awesome for the Energon universe and the future going forward. The last bit, not the last bit, but the next bit is non-comic. Well, it's kind of still comic stuff, but like I said, the Transformers, Void Rivals, Autobot Jetfire, Zertonian, Celila, and Agorian Derek, it's on Pulse, and I think it's, I don't want to, can I just click the Pulse link and it not open a separate? Of course, it opened a separate tab, you bastard. It's 100 and, oh, what? Okay, I hope that's not, oh boy. I don't know what the conversion is on that, but I'm not in the UK. It says it's £144 or whatever that. Just Matrix Prime told me it was 115 something, $115 or something or other. So I don't know. It's Jetfire. And I told him, I said, it's Jetfire. He's huge. You expect him to, like, you expect him to be anything less. And then he comes with two other figures.
He's 114 US.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah.
I mean, he's cool. Don't get me wrong. He looks very G1-esque.
Oh, absolutely. That's the point, because it's based off the Void Rivals, Daniel Warren Johnson design. Here you go.
And he's an 11 inch tall figure.
Yes, he is. That's why. Yeah. Do that. There you go. Look there in the chat. That's one of the images of him, of all of them, if it sends. There it goes. But yeah, so it's him with the two Zertonian Agorian figures. I like it. I think it's cool. I think it's great that they are doing figures from this comic line. I think that's very awesome. But I kind of wish we could get the Derek and Celila by themselves for like $10 for a two pack, like $5 each kind of thing. Cause that's what those figures, at least at that size, like, I don't know if I'm right on that price point or not, but one thing with this story here about all the listings, the one thing I wanted to talk about is, it's been years, it's been decades since I wanted anything Lego, and the only reason why I want Lego Soundwave is to keep him in tape deck mode, because they added a sound brick, and he makes sound. Oh my god, I can't, just, it's so cool. I watched somebody do a video of it the other day. Maybe it was an original Lego video, I don't remember. But like, the Legos nowadays aren't like Legos when I was a kid. Like, even just looking at something like this. File exceeds the limit. Are you kidding me? It's a photo. You stupid. Anyway. The image of where it's out on the table in that post, of where it's spread out in the bucket, like that, like, I don't remember Legos like that when I was a kid in the 80s.
I remember making my own
mm-hmm.
yep. of all the G1 Transformers out uh-huh. of Lego.
Yep.
And I made, like, with what I had, I made, you know, the pieces so that they could transform.
Yep.
And I made cassettes that could transform. They turned into robots or animals or whatever. And yeah. They fit inside. Like, I had a tape deck thing that opened. and swivel heads and, you know, all that good stuff. I made a couple of years ago, I made a Optimus Prime and Megatron for my kids and figured out how to have like the fusion cannon, like everything, like the thing was posable. Like it was better than the stuff I made as a kid, but it's nowhere near the level of what they're coming out with now.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's crazy. The stuff that is coming out, cause it's very cool.
And if you look at the photos in this post with the Soundwave and just looking at it, just the robot mode is cool. Don't get me wrong. It absolutely is cool. And it is. But like we have a million different Soundwaves in robot mode, and that's the same robot mode we've had for the past 40 something years. It's that tape deck mode for me that just absolutely does it. There's one photo of it on a like a table, where it's just on a table, or the one where it's on the shelf with the books. Like, oh my God, that would be so cool. That would be so fun. There's one where, because he comes with Ravage and Laserbeak, there's a product shot of it. It looks so good. So absolutely good. We talked about the Masters Transformers crossover, didn't we? We don't need to talk about that again, do we?
No.
Okay, good. Just go right past that listing then, because we don't need to talk about that. We talked about the Megatron Bumblebee train and cannon thing from whatever. I like those. What is it? Transformers Minor Set or whatever. I like that. Oh, there's Braun. Braun looks cool. Sea Spray looks great. This is the, I guess this is the reissue or the, whatever they're, Retro G1 Autobot Sea Spray is what it's called. Retro G1 Autobot Brawn. They look cool. They look great.
They look cool. And they're kind of like the old style mixed mm-hmm. with the modern retro, you know, they're neat. I've seen Gears.
Yeah.
And Bumblebee at the store.
Yeah. I was right. Derek and Silly that come as a two pack separately from Jetfire too. Cause they're in a two pack box with Jetfire as artwork on the back of the That's hilarious. Oh boy. But no, that Soundwave. Oh man. That would just be so cool. All right. Another thing I'm going to be gushing over. We're going to go back to Yolo Park. Technically.
MDLX.
Yeah. A3U exclusive Transformers MDLX Lost Light Rodimus Prime. Oh, this is not Yolo Park. This is 3-0. I still have the Nemesis Prime. I still haven't gotten him out of the box yet. But this thing. So the last episode when we talked about this, and I was like, where's his head? I can't see his damn head. I can finally see his head. Man, this is it just. It's so good. The only thing that would make this better. It is if it was also his car mode. Not that it would not. Okay. When I say that, I don't mean I'm not trying to turn into one of those Transformers fans. Oh, but it doesn't transform. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, which company was it there? I think it's the Blockies. Blockies has, a version of Swoop where it's the Pteranodon that you can put together, but it also has a version of Swoop that it's the robot. It's the robot mode version of Swoop. I wish I had an alt mode version of this Rodimus too, because damn. Oh man. I might have to get 3-0.
I know that's how I am with Beast Megatron. So
yeah, I know. He just looks so damn good. Yeah, so there's that. And then the final thing I had for news, I wanted to save this for last. They did at San Diego Comic-Con, Hasbro interview, Age of the Prime, Studio Series, HasLabs, and more. The so the TFW team has had a chance to ask Evan and Nate questions about what's going on and things. I'm trying to scroll through here to see if Mark Mayer is in here too, but so far I'm only seeing Evan and Nate's names. I don't see Mark. Yep. So I thought we could run through this because this is more information than, you know, I tried skimming it to find like the best parts, but it's too long to find all of it. So let's see here. So we start with, will Age of the Primes get a subname in its second year or just continue as is? It's just Age of the Primes. So it's not gonna be Legacy this or that. Is there still interest in making big Transformers video games after the Reactivate cancellation? Evan says yes, there is definitely an interest to pursue bigger video games for Transformers in the future. We have no information on that as of this time, but obviously we would love to see that happen. They ask about unreleased Reactivate concepts, more Reactivate stuff. So this is what I like about this stuff, and this is what I like about how these guys interact. With the reveal of Blastoff, is it a partial of any existing figure or is it all new? And Nate says, all new. All the Combaticons are all new. And I can't imagine we'd ever go away from that for any combiner. And Evan says, well, the aerial bots, some of them are partials of each other because they're jets and they're very similar. It was mentioned before that a secret mode allowing Omega Prime to put all his parts together would be published. Are there many fan modes? Are there many fan modes, but an official mode is still something that'll be released? Evan says, yeah, that falls on me. That was just me being too busy to update it, and I will definitely get on that. He says, I will say that the fans have figured it out, and I have seen some photos. I think it was very specifically when the Japanese fans got it. They figured it out like in a minute of opening it or whatever. Let's see, Brawl being a Voyager. What would you like to do with HasLabs in the future? Are there possibilities you would like to explore beyond singular iconic large characters? Are collaboration HasLabs possible? Jokes about a G.I. Joe flag collab and it being gigantic and needing a payment plan. Nate says, for HasLab, we have our concept for 2026. We know what we're doing. Ooh, ominous. I don't like that guy. And Evan says, in future concepts, I definitely say there's an opportunity. Mark wants to go wild and weird as he always does. Yeah, Mark is definitely the wild and woolly one of the team. Nate goes on to say, as far as collabs go, so the G.I. Joe ones, they've done very well. I mean, you have the challenge of trying to interest G.I. Joe fans having those 3 3/4 inch figures with them. So then the challenge for us is that we have to make the bot to scale for the 3 3/4 inch scale, and of course brings the collab up to up collab up to significantly. I think the most recent two we've done at least were over $100. When it comes to collabs, the strategy behind the collabs is really trying to get it all new fans interested to Transformers. So that's why you're seeing Hot Wheels, NFL, Naruto, Sonic. That okay. See this. I'm glad I'm reading this. I'm glad I'm reading this on the podcast, because I would have never, if I had ignored this story and just not read it at all, I would have never have known that. Lots of cool ones we're already working on. And when it comes to HasLabs, the effort, the marketing dollars and the engineering dollars and the prototypes and all of that stuff is so expensive that we have to be so certain that it's going to fund, because the whiffs that occasionally happen, Transformers has been blessed. The Transformers community, we're 5 for 5. So please support this next one, which I'm very confident you will. We have to be so stinking sure, because there's lots of people that are above us that sign off on, yes, we're doing this, and we want to make sure that we are highly focused, laser focused on the Transformers fan for the Transformers collab. Similar to the G.I. Joe team, they did hyper focus on the G.I. Joe fan. I mean, literally, right over there is the Star Wars one, so muddying the waters, yada, 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 yada. So, yeah, that's, and we've been saying, we said last episode, I don't know where Transformers is going to go for the next generation, for the after us, for your kids, for whoever's kids out, like, we don't know. This right here, what he said about Hot Wheels and NFL and not, okay, maybe not NFL for us, but you know what I mean? Like, he's sitting here saying that that's why we're seeing all this stuff now, that they are trying certain things to get the kids back. I don't know if it's working, but
yeah, I don't honestly know if what's going to work, what's not going to work.
Yep. About the Titan Grimlock, since we had the leader, is there any kind of engineering you brought over? Evan says, I would say there's maybe a few similar transformation mechanisms, but he's a completely new sculpt, especially with how that leader class figure, essentially the back skirt became the tail, and obviously that doesn't happen on this one because the tail becomes his mace, etc., etc. Okay, more Grimlock. Oh god, they love Grimlock. Armada Jetfire, maybe Overload. I definitely hear you there. So starting with Jetfire, yes, Optimus needs a new pair of pants. Oh my god, Evan. He will definitely have that functionality because that's so iconic to the character. I definitely think if we do Jetfire in the future, I would expect that combination to happen. Going for the Cybertron Optimus Prime, I will tell you that Yuki-san over at Takara Tomy is a big fan of that series and that character, and making sure that Wing Saber Leo Breaker always pops up. Let's see. Is Primus more likely to be a HasLab or Titan if made? Evan says, more than likely a HasLab. We've definitely talked about it because recently there's been a lot of requests for him. So hopefully at some point in the future, he can be a future HasLab. They already did Unicron. They might as well do Primus in the future. Oh, here you go for you.
Yeah, because they say, what Beast Wars characters do you want to make?
Uh-huh.
And he goes, oh, that's a very good question. Let me think about that. Because we did Big Convoy. He goes, you know what? I've actually gotten a lot of requests for these guys, and I think it's something that we need to do. The Combiners from Beast Wars, the Magna Boss and Tripredicus, they would be a lot of fun to do. That would be, I think, next on our list if we could get there.
Tripredicus.
I want Transmetals, man. We need some new trans metals.
Yes, I agree.
I had Tripredicus back in the day, and my brother had Magnaboss. But I also know that Magnaboss suffered from gold plastic syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Specifically on the silver bolt portion. So, yeah.
And Omega Supreme is the only animated figure they really want to do left. So there's that. They ask about Lugnut Supreme, but yeah, we like our redecos. We like our partial tooling. So yeah, that makes sense. Just to be clear, are Beast Machines or Energon figures things you're still interested in doing? Oh yeah, we definitely talk about that. And just one, because we like anniversaries. And Energon doesn't get a lot of love, and it certainly deserves it. Beast Machines doesn't get a lot of love, and it does have its fans, and we know that. Obviously, everybody loves the Viacons, and everybody loves Tankor. So I think at some point in the future, folks can probably expect us to dive more into those universes. Oh, man, if they dive into Beast Machines, and they finally do an actual Cloak Megatron?
Oh, I will be all over that.
Yep. Same here.
Leader class. Let's go. I got the original Voyager one sitting in my cabinet, plus my 3D print version. My 3D print version is bigger than the leader Ultra class. Or technically leader class. Yep.
To hell with leader class. Make that shit Titan class or Commander class or whatever. Make it the biggest you can make it.
Well, not if he's got the cloak. I can see him being Commander. I can't see him being Titan. I can see the Grand Maul being Titan.
Yeah.
Him turning into the ship. Like the big head.
Yep.
Oh, that I can see.
That, yes.
Because they did have one slated to come out. Yep. Like they had the little one that had the little spider legs on it that transformed into a Megatron, and it was like deluxe basically when all was said and done. Like it was Voyager, but it really wasn't. And then they had talks of doing like one that was bigger than the Supreme class Optimal Optimus of the Grand, you know, the Grand Maul, and having it, you know, transform. And it got scrapped because Beast Machines was so poorly received.
Yeah.
So yep. I could see them playing that, going back to that well and being like, what can we mine from this?
Mm-hmm. People are going to kill me for this, but I'm going to say it. There's a question here. Can we expect Nemesis Prime out of the 86 mold? Ha! There have been so many requests for every color version of Optimus in the 86 mold. I think at some point in the future, you can expect every colorway that you want in the 86 mold. I would buy SS86 Optimus in a heartbeat if it was shattered glass purple.
So, funny you say that. The knockoff companies.
Uh-huh.
They have the shattered glass purple prime. They have with all the battle damage and everything. They have the Ultra Magnus white.
Yep.
They have the Nemesis Prime. The black prime, you know, and then they have regular prime. So there's four versions floating around right now on the knockoff.
Yep. Trying to see if there's other things that are if 86 Rodimus gets made presumably as a Kingdom reuse, is he more likely to be an exclusive so that he doesn't take up one of the yearly Commander slots? If we do an 86 Rodimus, he would be new. And that is something that we've kind of been talking about with Takara Tomy team as well. They would like to do a new one. It's a very different execution, different plans, different priorities as well. So he will be mainline, and we will just see where he ends up. If they do an SS-86 Rodimus and then they do him in Shattered Glass, Black and Purple, why are you trying to pull me back in, Transformers? Stop it. I just want my Funko Pops, damn it. Is the blue Megatron arm on the back of his packaging something that's noteworthy, or is it just a color error? Okay, it's nothing. That's all I'm going to say. It was done by our team to just kind of show that they all have different characteristics, have different characters, can hold the Megatron blaster. So that's all that is. It's not a reference to anything. I've actually gotten some questions on. Okay, what was the process behind making 86 Prime and Megatron, especially with the Earthrise figures already existing? The first thing that we wanted to do was the scale change for sure. We wanted Optimus Prime to have a big beefy trailer and make sure he is scaled up more proportionately to some of our other figures that had come out, made him a little bit taller, a little bit bulkier, so that he had a little bit more articulation, a little bit more in the hands, a little bit more in the shoulders, and just was, I guess, overall better figure. Kind of the same with the Megatron. It was the silhouette that we wanted to target with Megatron, and bumping him up to leader scale made that possible. Talks about Shattered Glass. Everybody has asked about that. Nemesis and White Ultra Magnus version. I'll just say everybody loves that mold, so we will make sure to get it out there in every color we can get it out in. They ask about mobile game stuff. Oh yeah, we've actually talked to the team about that as a possibility. We definitely think it's possible. What's interesting is a lot of the mobile games, some of those designs are essentially a lot of our toy CAD already. A lot of our toy CAD already, but it's possible that in the future when they bring in unique color, I don't know, whatever. So yeah, there's that. And then they do a separate interview with Nate, and I'm not gonna go through all of that. You guys,
there's not much. I mean, there's other stuff obviously in there, but
we've hit all the good stuff, I would say.
Yeah. Like
the rest of it is, yeah. But that's kind of it for the news. I mean, That's pretty much it. That's all 8 of the stories that I had that I grabbed.
And I know they're brainstorming like a G1 Predaking and...
Yeah, the Predacons. That, I was trying to think of Razor... When we were talking about Razor Claw, I couldn't think of the damn name. Like, what the hell is the damn faction name, Predacons? Duh. Duh, Mike. How do you know that?
But, so, yeah, I mean, there's a ton of new stuff coming down the pipe.
Oh yeah,
and we may see some stuff later this fall when they do, you know, HasCon or whatever.
Yep. Like I said, man, it's you just gotta wait and see. That you never know. So it ain't over till it's over.
Yup. So I think that about rounds this episode of the podcast. And thank you to everyone who has been listening for the last 17 years and all that are new to this podcast as we continue to just kind of continue into the Transformers realm. So you can, of course, listen to this episode on geekcastradio.com. You can listen on your favorite podcatcher, and You can comment on your favorite social media platform by either hit me up on there, like if it's Twitter at SCP21 or yourself, TFG1Mike, or you can hit us up on the All Things Transformers Facebook page. So until next time, transform and transcend.
Yeah.